I'm making some changes with regard to the distribution list for the sermon outlines. If you're on that list, you should have gotten an email from me indicating a little bit about that change, which requires nothing on your end unless you happen to have a Gmail account and you have said you do not want to be a part of any group on Gmail. You may not have gotten the letter at all, and you'll need to contact me, and we'll work this out. But if you would like to start receiving them, and you're not now, then let me know, and I will give you the process by which you can do that. And hopefully, starting next Sunday, it'll look just like it always has. Just be a little different email address at the top. But you should be able to continue receiving them without doing anything. But if you have any problems starting next week, not today, but starting next week, then let me know. I will tell you this, the ones that I sent out this past weekend for today, I believe every AOL address was kicked back and not allowed to deliver. And even when I attempted to deliver them individually, they were kicked back and not allowed to deliver. And so if you have an AOL account, you probably did not receive the sermon outlines for today. That having been said, let's go to Israel. Israel, the people of God. Israel, the very name given to those who belong to God. It's a unique thing that as you come into the Old Testament and look at it, the nation of Israel, from a physical standpoint, will always refer to themselves as the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's an important reason for going to Jacob. Because Abraham had other children. But the promise comes through Ishmael. I'm sorry, not through Ishmael, through Isaac. But he had Ishmael before he had Isaac. And after Isaac was born, he had other children. And then there is Isaac, and he has two sons. Both of those two sons become great nation of people, as do all of the descendants of Abraham. But it is only through Jacob that those descendants are going to be the people of God. And it is Jacob whose name is changed to Israel. And Israel stands for the people of God. But who are they? Who are these people of God, and who is this Israel? In the book of Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is helping the Jews, those physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that physical Israel, understand some things that are very difficult regarding what he has just spoken through the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. It's not through the law. It's through faith. It's not in being a descendant of Abraham. It's through faith. And when he starts off in the book of Romans chapter 9, and he comes through those first few verses, and he talks about, what shall we say about my people according to the flesh? Because so many things belong to them. The law was theirs. The promises were theirs. They are the ones who are the physical descendants of Abraham. But they are not the Israel that he's talking about, because this salvation is not through the law. And that's confusing them. And then Paul will come to these verses and say, it's not as though the word of God has failed. It's not as though the word of God means nothing. Because everything God said in the word has come to pass. But we have to understand what he was saying. We have to look carefully at what he was saying. It's not as though the word of God has failed, because they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. It's not the fleshly descendants that matter. It's something else. It's those that come according to the promise. The very next verse he says this, to explain it. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. And those children of promise are the ones where God made a promise and Abraham believed it. And those who believe his promises, and those who believe him, and who have this faith of believing what God has said, those are the ones who are the true Israel. In order for us to see that, I want you to go back to the book of Genesis. We're going to spend the rest of the morning in the book of Genesis in two chapters, and the book of Hosea in one chapter. And we're going to start back in the book of Genesis, and I just want you to remember these two stories. Genesis chapter 28, starting with verse 10, and it goes down through verse 22. Jacob is leaving home. He's leaving home for fear of his life from his brother Esau, because he is the one who has received the blessing from his father Isaac. And at the instruction of his father Isaac and his mother, he's going back to the homeland of his mother in order to live until the anger of Esau subsides. And so he's left home and he's on that journey and he travels until sundown. And at sundown he stops to rest and he lays his head on a rock and he goes to sleep. And in the night, the dream that he has is of a staircase with its bottom steps on the earth and the top steps up into heaven. And the angels are ascending and descending on that staircase. They are going up and down on this staircase. And at the very top of the staircase is the Lord. And the Lord is saying to him, I will bring you back to this land. And this land, far as you can see, from north to south to east and to west, your people and your descendants will spread out. And this land will belong to you. And Jacob wakes up. And when he wakes up, he says, this is an awesome place. It can be nothing less than the house of God and the gateway to heaven. And because he referred to it as the house of God, it is called from that point on Bethel, Bethel, a house that belongs to God. And he calls this a holy place. And he takes the rock upon which he had rested his head, and he pours oil upon it, and he rests, or rather after his rest, he gets up and he continues his journey. Chapter 32 is when he's coming back. Chapter 32, he has already received word that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. Not a welcoming party. But 400 men are coming to meet him along with Esau, and he is across the Jabbok Creek. And he has all of his family to cross over that creek, and he stays behind alone, except there's someone there. In Genesis chapter 32, he's referred to as a man. You'll notice when we go to Hosea in a moment, he's referred to as an angel, and then he's referred to as God. But this man with whom he wrestles, and he wrestles all night long, and as the sun begins to break, the one with whom he is wrestling says, let me go. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And the angel says, who are you? And he says, I am Jacob. And then the angel says, you are no longer going to be called Jacob. But from now on, your name will be Israel. And this is the point where the name Israel comes into existence. And this is the point at which he has called Israel. Let me remind you of something that it ties in with this before we go to the next passage. There's an illustration, or not an illustration, but a statement that is made that I read a long time ago that I always think of and I always point out when we come to this passage. The question that the angel asked Jacob, "Who are you?" You have to think back to the last time Jacob was asked that question. And what his answer was the last time he was asked that question. Now, the last time that he was asked that question was by his father, just before he was deceived, or in the process of being deceived by Jacob. And when his father asked him, "Who are you?" Jacob's answer was, "I am Esau." And so now the angel, after this journey, is asking again, "Who are you?" And this time Jacob says, "I am Jacob." And to me, the idea is, with whatever is wrong with me and everything that there is about me and all the things that I have done wrong, I'm not pretending to be anybody else. I am me. With all the ugliness, with all the warts, with everything that is wrong with me, I am Jacob. And then he was blessed. And he was blessed by God, and God said, "Now you're Isaac." Now you are Israel. And the very name that the people of God will be known by. Now we're going to switch gears, but God's going to be the one that switches the gears for us. We're going to move from the physical thing to the spiritual thing. Because so many times the physical thing will point us to the spiritual thing. And that's what happens in the book of Hosea chapter 12. The book of Hosea chapter 12 is when God is pleading with the nation of Israel to come back to him and to be faithful to him. And he uses the prophet Hosea and his marriage to a woman that is not faithful to him and does not love him as an illustration of his relationship, God's relationship with Israel. And I want you to read with me in Hosea chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 1 down through verse 6. And I want you to notice carefully what's stated. Because God is giving us, through the prophet Hosea, a commentary on Genesis chapter 32. And more information on Genesis 32 than we have in Genesis 32. We start with verse 1. Ephraim, son of Joseph, largest of the tribes, representing the nation of Israel. Because it was the largest tribe of the nation of Israel. That northern kingdom after the kingdoms are divided. Judah is the largest tribe of the southern kingdom. And it starts off, there's only two. There's Judah and Benjamin. And then so many others who want to remain faithful to God filter in and become a part of that southern kingdom, Judah. And so this address to Ephraim is to Israel, the northern kingdom. Ephraim feeds on wind and pursues the east wind continually. Ephraim sticks his finger into the wind and see which way the world is heading. And it goes right along with it. He multiplies lies and violence. Moreover, he makes a covenant with Assyria, and oil is carried to Egypt. His trust is not in God. It's in the political powers around him. It is not in God. It's in the strength of Assyria and in the strength of Egypt. And he puts his trust in those political powers and not in God. And that's what God starts with as he chastises him. The Lord also has a dispute with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. It's not just Israel, it's also Judah. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he took his brother by the heel. And in his maturity, he contended with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and he prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. I want you to stop right there and I want you to think. How would you read the words of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32? I will not let you go until you bless me. Would it be words spoken in anger? Would it be words spoken in victory? Would it be words spoken with, I have met you and I am your equal and I am not letting you go until you bless me? Look at how God says he did it. He wept and he begged for his favor. And God is giving us another picture, the only picture of what really happened. So what does it mean when he prevailed? And what does it mean when he prevailed over God? What is this describing for us? Look again, and let's read this part again, and we'll finish out the verse. Yes, he wrestled with the angel, and he prevailed. Let me tell you what prevailed means. He gained God's favor. How did he do that? How did he gain God's favor? He wept and sought his favor, and he found him at Bethel. And now God takes us back from Genesis 32, back to chapter 28, where he slept that first night. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with us. Even the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his name. And then the appeal to Judah. Therefore, return to your God. Observe kindness and justice and wait for your God continually. So with that background from Hosea chapter 12, what's going on back in chapter 32? Take a second, though. He found him at Bethel. Bethel. How awesome is this place, were the words of Jacob. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And he's discovered the way. And he's discovered how you get there. So we go back. He strives with God. He prevails. That's the meaning of the word Israel. Some dictionaries will say God strives. Some dictionaries will say he strives. And in the text, your name will be Israel because you have striven with God and you have prevailed. That means he beat God? No. It means he has prevailed because he's received God's favor. He has prevailed because he's received God's blessing. And he's no longer fighting against God because he no longer can. And now he knows it. And that's what's happening in this story. In this story, there is this wrestling match that has been going on between Jacob and God brought down to this physical event. And this physical event describes exactly what's been going on and what's happening. And what's happening here. And God, through Hosea, lets us know about it. So let's take a look at this. Genesis chapter 32, 24 through 32. This Israelite in whom there is guile. The very opposite thing said about Bartholomew. An Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. This supplanter who grabs the heel of his brother, who lies to his father, who deceives his father, who goes and takes advantage of his father-in-law. Granted, his father-in-law deserved it because he was taking advantage of him. But there was this struggle continually going on with God. And now he's back and he's facing his brother. And before he does, God's not done with him. And so they wrestle. And he holds on to this angel and does not let him go until the sun comes up. And when the sun starts coming up, all he is doing is holding on. Why? Because the angel has touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of his hip has been pulled out of joint. And he's no longer able to do anything except to hold on. And he's holding on, and he has this wound. And now he is crying. Let me go. I will not let you go. Not until you bless me. Who are you? I am Jacob. From now on, you're Israel. Because you have fought God and you have prevailed. How did you prevail? With a broken heart. With a heart that submits. With a heart that acknowledges God. And a heart that says, I will give up everything about me and I will hold on to you no matter what. With a heart that puts his trust in God. Now he is Israel. You're not Israel because you're a physical descendant of Abraham. You're Israel because you believe God. And because you will put your trust in him and hold on to him no matter what. Then you are Israel. As for Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. God wrestles with every single one of us. And he holds out his hands to a disobedient and obstinate people, wanting them to recognize who they are, who he is, and submit to him. And then they will be victorious because they will receive God's blessing. But the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Where I stop living for me and I stop wrestling against God, but I recognize the helplessness and the hopelessness of my situation and I submit to him, then I prevail. Then I become victorious. When I trust him and I believe in him. Believing in him means believing what he said. Believing in him means trusting him and doing as he has requested. Have you put on Christ in baptism? Do you need to come home to Christ? We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing. Jesus.